touching to him with Coach O. As now we do know it's official at a press conference yesterday. We'll play some of those sound bites coming up here, this segment here as well. Scott Woodward, the athletic director for LSU, and Ed Orgeron in a presser last night, sitting together at a table talking about the mutual departure that they've come to terms and agreement in. Ed Orgeron will be getting the full buyout, and now the school will try to look to find its next head football coach. So all of that is on the table and more. You can also tweet us your thoughts as to where it should go. Getting a lot of people that kind of feel for him and think it's not justified to this aspect of it. COVID, coaches leaving, players, all of that. We can discuss that if you'd like as well. Shane, thank you for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover. How are you?
Hey, Goose, how you doing today?
Doing well, man. Thank you.
It's the day of LSU hater day. Glenn Gilbo sounds like an LSU hater, and what is this, UT Joe or UT Don or whatever? He's obviously delusional because he's a Texas man. But I told you last week I was going to call you back Monday and we would talk about what Coach O was going to put in his gumbo for Thanksgiving in cutoff.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he's going to have to be a Christmas gumbo instead of a Thanksgiving gumbo. But I think that Mel Tucker, I like Lane Kiffin, but I don't know if they're going to be willing. He's a little too brash and
right, and
outgoing, I think, for the fan base at LSU. But I like Mel Tucker, and I still like Bob Stoops. I think we could get him to come out of retirement. And also, what is Jimbo making? Isn't he making $10 million a year at A&M?
Pull up the article. I don't know if it's 10. They got him at 7.5 right now. Now, his contract's fully guaranteed, so it'll cost you a bit. But some articles say no buyout. I'm looking at a column that says $95 million. That's obviously not a buyout. I think it's just that all of the Zers are guaranteed on that, but there isn't a buyout per se. So right here, the USA Today article has him at $7.5 million is where his salary is over there at A&M.
And doesn't A&M have, like, more money than God? I don't think they're going to allow Jimbo to just leave and go to Baton Rouge without a bidding war. I don't imagine.
Well, I'm sure there will be a discussion or so, right? A lot of times, all these coaches, every single year when the season ends, you do see that. Raises for the assistants, facilities to be promised and built, raises for them, extensions to that. And a lot of times, it's just to buy another year or two, but more importantly, I guess to try to get something out of it to an extent. But you're right. If it's $3-5 million difference, you wonder if you're going to see that. But yeah, if A&M is happy with their coach, they're going to do everything they can to keep him. I know a lot of people have brought up the ties between Fisher and Woodward. Woodward brought him to Texas A&M. So there's a likening to that, or linking as to why people feel that way.
Okay, and I got one more thing to say. I know this is kind of off subject, but basketball season is starting.
Sure.
And I was thinking about it. Zion, you don't get to be unhappy when you can't start the season or finish the season every year in your first 3 years. You don't get to say, I'm unhappy and I want to go to New York or anything like that. That's just something I've been thinking about.
I don't disagree with you, sir. I preach on would be the way I would respond to that.
All right, Goose, you have a good day. I'm listening, buddy.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Shane. Appreciate it. Wednesday is the season opener, and yes, I did see that a new Mountain Dew commercial is out, and there's Zion on the couch. I'm not kidding you. With the bowl of chips. I'm just going to go with maybe you look bigger on camera. You know? I mean, I do, too. I don't look too fitty. Sometimes, depending on the shot, I look a little puffier than I'd like to be on camera. Doesn't it add like 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 pounds? Maybe that's the case. Look, you know my feelings on this. That's great. Look, run him until November. November, what is it? What did I have? I wrote it down. November 2nd at Phoenix, the first of a 4-game stretch. See you then, Zion. They'll ask about it. I don't care. Get in shape. Run up and down. Drop 10. Get your cardio going. And we'll see you at Phoenix. That's legitimately how I feel about the start of the season for the Pelicans. We'll have, obviously, a ton of coverage on Wednesday when the Pels start the season. The NBA season starts tomorrow. Got four games tomorrow. Two games, I think, tomorrow. So we'll touch on all of that and more. But again, massive news over the weekend is the fact that they're going to part ways, LSU and Coach O. Yesterday, they had a presser, as I mentioned. And Coach O, on the past five seasons, had this to say.
Well, it's a great run, if you ask me. It's a great run, you know, to go 15-0 and have one of the best football teams ever to play. Not every person gets a chance to see that. And let me say, it was because of the players and because of the assistant coaches we had. But, you know, the last couple of years are not the standard of LSU, but I have no regrets. I know I went to work as hard as I could every day, tried as hard as I could every day, and that's all you can ask.
One of the things that he was asked as well, and it was made up a lot, a big topic about being a CEO, and that was going to be his strength, and that's one of the reasons they hired him. Delegate, manage, hire a good assistant. And it's something I remember Matt saying, and I said it on the day of the hire, said, it's not that I don't like Ed Orgeron, but if you're not a coordinator or come with a background of a coordinator, which you can fall back on in terms of an expertise. I'm known for this. I understand this side of the football. And I understand he's been a position coach, and I'm not saying position coaches can't become coordinators. But to have that experience, you understand how to run things. When you're the offensive coordinator, you're the defensive coordinator. You run that side of the football. Dennis Allen runs the defense. Sean has input. They speak. They communicate day to day. Player development, scheme, philosophy, that's Dennis Allen of the New Orleans Saints. Now, again, it's a guy that was a coach for a bit, was a coordinator, tried out with the Raiders, didn't work out. But, again, Sean Payton has that and delegates. You got that side of the ball. Make it work. Of course they sit in together. Of course they talk about the defense. Of course this is what he wants from these players. Sure. But that's what a CEO does. And when you go back, and again, we've gotten some calls already. Hey, it's not fair. You have this. I hear you. Sure, the players left, but players leave Alabama. Gosh, that's not fair. They're different. I understand that, but that's the team you have to beat in your division to win the conference. It's not... It's actually what you should do. You have to look at teams that you have to beat and play and see what are they doing. How do I compete against them? Nick Saban has assistants leave every year. Nick Saban has players leave every year. Heisman candidate players, not just good players, not just first round draft picks. They still find a way to be successful and dominant. He is a CEO. I can guarantee you nothing happens at Alabama without his knowledge, knowing, or decision, or has been thought over at all. People are afraid to walk in those hallways. But he's a defensive-minded guy. Knows defense, has something to fall back on. Sean Payton, very similarly. Not a stick of chewing gum. Not a message, not the color Gatorade, nothing is not thought out through, or done without the express written consent of head coach Sean Payton, or verbal. Period. But he's an offensive-minded guy. Understands offense, that's his forte, is what he falls back on. That's what I've always thought was going to be hard on Ed Orgeron. Okay, he's a great communicator. People, it's great, but can you? And you saw at the very beginning, Canada, just in general, I mean, his first season, he had to have sit down. The AD had to have a sit down with him and his offensive coordinator because they weren't getting along, couldn't talk. How do you hire Bo Pelini without interviewing him? You can't, while it seems, hey, funny, haha. But when you say at a press conference, hey, that binder that I gave during my interview, I don't even know what was in there. That's not funny. Could you imagine going into an NFL job and handing over a resume, anything, ESPN New Orleans, Best Buy. Here's my resume. What's on it? I don't know. I mean, it's, if it wouldn't be so unbelievably bad, it would be actually funny, but it's not funny. That is the person you're putting in charge of other people's lives, money, kids, trusting, all of that. And if you're that, you know, cavalier about it, what else do you think is going on? I mean, I just, again, that's just honestly, which is why you see it with your eyes. A poorly coached football team cannot understand and how to get with the communication of the locker room. Now, whether you agree with it or not, that the march and how players felt last summer should have been why the locker room was lost, we can debate that. I'm just telling you what everyone else is saying in Baton Rouge, though, that day he lost the locker room. The meeting afterwards at the president's house, lost the locker room. That was a while back. So were you surprised? And I said it last year, said there was something going on. When you have that many players just opt out, not just the beginning of the season, during the season, like 3-4 times. I mean, you, to the point where you didn't really get to see a together locker room until Max Johnson started the last two games. Had the discussion with a family member over the weekend. Max Johnson sucks. He's terrible. I'm like, does he look like the same guy from the last couple of games last year? Looks completely different. It's coaching. Obviously, well, he doesn't look off the receiver. I'm like, well, are they running the right routes? Is there a concept? Is there an understanding of what he's doing? Is he being coached that way? Because he does look at times like a completely different quarterback. And then other times you see why he was successful at the end of last year. I'm just, again, your eyes will tell you. And I even got into all the different reports that came out yesterday. And like Brody said and Matt said last night, and he's going to say it again on the show today, some of those aren't attributed. Some of those are anonymous. Some of those hearsay. But it's never a good thing when there's a report that you're hitting on a woman at a gas station. It turns out to be pregnant. And then you say, what does that matter when she says I'm married? And it turns out to be the wife of an LSU official. Probably not a good thing. The reports of bringing girlfriends to practice and letting their kids do drills, which Matt today said that's not exactly accurate and all that, but that's my point. Now that this is done, you're going to hear people singing left and right about things, which is my only reason why I'm like, I don't know if you do this the rest of the season, because it will be a distraction, but it is what it is. Like I said, there are football on the field reasons this move is made. But I think equally so, if not more, it's what's off the field. Not only with him, but with what the university is dealing with. Why this move was made. Quick break. Marlon Favorite will join us next as the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. This Black and Gold Report is brought to you by Rogers Parts, your home for Napa Auto Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Get your Napa know-how in Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville. The Saints and Falcons were off this weekend, and Tampa won in Philly last Thursday. So the only game in the NFC South was Minnesota at Carolina, and it was good. Panthers down to fourth down. Quarterback Sam Darnold dropping back in the end zone.
Fourth down at 10. Darnold fires. It is caught by Ian Thomas. 42-yard connection as the Panthers stay alive.
They had to go for two, though. Down 26-28.
This is for the tie. Shovel pass. They've got it.
So to overtime, we go with the Vikings. Get a big play to walk it off.
Second down and 13. As Cousins throws. Osborne. Touchdown. Vikings. Vikings win!
34-28 was the final. So as we enter week 7 of the season, Tampa Bay sits atop the standings at 5-1. Your New Orleans Saints are next at 3-2. The Panthers fell to 3-3 and still in the cellar, the Dirty Birds. New Orleans travels to Seattle next Monday night. The Seahawks took on the Steelers on Sunday and lost to fall to 2-4 in the season. For more on the Black and Gold, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans. This Black and Gold report has been brought to you by Rogers Parts, your home for Napa Auto Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Get your Napa know-how in Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville.
Napa know-how.
Rogers Parts, your local distributor of high-quality Napa Auto Parts, marine and industrial supplies, has what you need to keep your vehicle rolling safely down the road. Whether it's repair or maintenance, Napa has the parts to help you make your vacation destination. Getting ready for that big fishing trip, they have quality marine parts to help keep your boat going. So stop by one of Rogers Parts' 5 locations, Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville, and talk with one of their ASE parts specialists. Rogers Parts, they've got the Napa know-how.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
A lot of fighting this season. I love the way we ran the ball yesterday. I love the way we stopped the run. I think Glenn Logan really helped us coming back. See Ty Davis Price and see the offensive line gelling like we did and us sticking to the run, be recommitted to the run. But we're going to take it one day at a time. Hey, tomorrow is Tell the Truth Monday. We're going to get on to Ole Miss, and it's a big job ahead. But, you know, we have a tough schedule ahead. We'll take it one day at a time. I'm glad we got this out the way tomorrow so we can focus on Ole Miss.
And if you reach a bowl game, do you think you'll coach in the bowl as
yes.
well?
Yes.
Marlon Favre won a national championship over at LSU and has a relationship with Coach O. So it's a tough day for you, no doubt, obviously, in that you have a personal relationship with Coach O. At the same time, you understand – what's going on over at LSU? Want to see them play better football. First off, good afternoon, man. How are you?
What up, Goose, baby? Hello, somebody. Talk to me, 504. We in here.
You know, we shouldn't be talking about LSU's big win over Florida and the way they played there. You know, Tydavis Price, it's the greatest rushing performance in LSU history. It's nuts when you think about all of the running backs LSU's had. This past Saturday was the best performance ever by a running back.
It was, Gus. I can't really describe how it was in the press box in the first half and then going to the second level of under the upper and the lowers. It just seeing how the crowd was reacting to a successful run game. So many people was coming up to me like, man, where has this been, Marlon? Where has this been? And it really made me think about what Gary Brumfield told us last week. It's not so much the offensive line isn't blocking. It's the scheme. It's how they're blocking. It's the technique that they're using. And what I noticed in this game against Florida, we did a lot of counters. We did a lot of backside guard, backside tackle pulling. Literally two of the touchdowns came off the same style run. And we didn't do a lot of that early on this season, and you know, eventually it led to us being 3-3. But you know, this, you know, going in there and going toe to toe with number 20 Florida, exploiting their fault. You know, Emory Jones not being a down the field thrower, that helped us out a lot. And just our defense has been playing good all year, with the exception of a game or two, of course, Kentucky being one, and not finishing with Arvin. You know, outside of that, this defense has been lights out. So I'm happy for the players to just really cut out all the outside chatter. Everybody, oh, this and that. O's not going to be here this week. And just all of that stuff was – I commend those guys for being mature and doing their job and going out there and getting a big win at home. Homecoming, baby. Hello.
So, look, obviously – you heard all the chatter and everything, and being part of the LSU Sports Network, you probably talked about it quite frequently off the air. How surprised were you to find out what was coming down the pipe and then having it be made official yesterday?
Well, to be honest with you, Gus, I knew about 48 hours for sure. I mean, we've been hearing about this for a while, but, you know, I got for sure word that there was going to be a buyout about 48 hours before. And I just, you know, like all us journalists have to do, especially when you work for a school, just keep it quiet. So that's why what made the game more important to me, because I'm like, these guys, they know what's up. I'm pretty sure as a team they spoke about it. But just to say, you know what, we're going to go out there and do it for our coach and, you know, most importantly for ourselves. So when I heard, when the announcement hit on yesterday, it's kind of like, well, I kind of knew that was going to happen. And I still think it's some class with it, right? Everybody, you know, some people that do what we do in this industry kept saying, oh, he's going to get fired this week and he's out of there. Nah, dude, you don't know what you're talking about, man. It's not that easy. It's recruiting that still has to go on. You don't bring in a new person. Now your offense and your defense in the middle of the season, it doesn't work like that. But anyway, it's one of those situations, Gus, where you look at a guy like Coach Ed Orgeron and what he did for the program. And it's some people out there, oh, you're good friends with him. No, I would say this if I didn't even know him or if he didn't like me. You know, I call a spade a spade. Mm-hmm. And calling a spade, you have a guy, he was at LSU for 5 years. He goes 9-3 two of those years. He goes 15-0. COVID hits. We lose 14 players to the NFL. We lose players to opting out. You're essentially going out there with a whole bunch of young kids. You still go 5-5. We still finish 500. And then next year, you come in and you made some mistakes. I mean, there's no question that there was a step back in regards to how he handled, you know, this Ferrari. So, and he was honest about that in his presser. He said, hey, I know what it requires to be a head coach at LSU, and that's winning. But, I mean, still to this day, I still think it's a premature fire. I think Coach O should have – once again, folks listening – and maybe shaking your head right now, this isn't, oh, he's cool with Ed, so that's, no, this is just me being a football guy. I'm a football guy, too, as well as a couple of other things. But I essentially think that's what led to the downfall, not being able to deliver the way we were expected. But, again, it just takes time, man. It really does, Gus. It just takes time.
One of the things that obviously moving forward will be what kind of coach and all that other aspect of it. Look, a lot of people can kind of speculate on that. I want to get your perspective on this because you're a player. Recruiting. A lot of fans are asking people, how could this and will affect recruitings? Now, I know LSU's already gotten commitments from a lot of the top players in the state. A couple more it here as well, but obviously, as you know, this is going to be used against LSU by these other schools. Hey, you don't even know your coaches and all that. Now, the decision don't have to come until December. That's the first, and then the other one's in February. If you're one of these top players, Marlon, are you waiting to see what LSU does? Like at the end of the season, the last game, like the Scott Woodward have to have the name of the next coach sooner rather than later so I can help make my decision? Do you not think this is really going to affect guys that already want to go to LSU?
Yeah, you want to – this is going to do a doozy for recruiting. And, Gus, to be quite honest with you, this is a good question because I thought about this but not to a full extent. Okay, so if I'm – let me put back on – I don't have to put on a hat. I have my son, Kentrell. If I'm a parent and I'm looking at this from, okay, my son is committed to LSU or has an offer from LSU, how do we handle this moving forward? Well, the first thing I tell my son, don't go to a school because of the coach. Go to the school because you like the school. That's the first thing I say, because coaches are interchangeable. Gucci Man said it, like buses, miss one bus, the next 15, another one coming. That's pretty much how the coaches – everybody's putting their name in a hat for this LSU job, right? So So don't go there because of the coach. Go there because you like the school. With that being said, you want to make sure that you're at a school where the coach that's there like your playing style and it's a good fit for you. So with that being said, Gus, it does have an effect on recruiting from regards to – so I do think Scott Woodward is a guy that's 10 steps ahead of the game. He's probably already narrowed this thing down to a few candidates that may fit the position to be head coach. But what I will say is this. Coach O left some huge shoes to fill. Keep in mind, not only did he have the greatest football season ever in college football, period, going 15-0 on that 2019 team, but he's also created a culture around there in a little time that really added to the winning. The open door policy that Coach O ran, genius. You have all these former players coming back comfortably. I have to be completely honest with you. It wasn't that comfortable coming back when Coach Miles was still there. Love him to pieces. That's my boy. He's responsible for me going to the NFL. He's responsible for me having an opportunity to be a starter at LSU. But the second I was irrelevant, hello, somebody, it just wasn't welcome. It's just, and it's not just me saying it. A lot of players said that. And I'm one of the guys that worked there or around the program a lot. And, you know, the program loves me back, and I love the program. But Coach O, over the policy. Once a Tiger, always a Tiger. The Dozo, that brought an energy to LSU that's been missing for a long time. And that's the beauty of having a local guy, somebody who can relate to the area but also have the coaching experience. So these are some big shoes that have to get filled. I know some people may think differently. That's on you. Probably don't know nothing about nothing. But at the very end of the day,
right,
I do know that Scott Woodward is going to make a good hire.
It's a very interesting point you bring up because Sean Payton tried to change that culture as well with this football team here in New Orleans, Marlon, and that was including welcoming in former Saints. That just did not happen. I remember in my years at the Saints Radio Network, just in that short amount of time, the massive change to where, you know, players were recognized and former players can come to practice and, you know, be on the practice field and speak to the team and kind of address the history of the franchise of the few players that actually had some success. So to your point, you've seen it in the NFL. I do think it's important to have that. I mean, the U, right? Having players on big game nights be on the sidelines. I just also wonder that fine line and balance of not letting it be a distraction. Cause you remember you go to a national championship game and one of the reasons they got in trouble, you got Odell Beckham Jr. handing out dollar bills. You know what I mean? now it's, you don't need to now, but that's kind of the thing that you risk, right? Is if you have players around players all the time, what's the singular voice? But I think it goes back to having a strong coach and a strong voice and strong message in that locker room. If you have that, I'm with you, Marlon. Have players around.
Yeah, have players around. It was the OBJ thing. I mean, he was two-time, but saw that got handled, you know. And Odell, he's Odell, so you know it's all love from LSU to Odell because he makes LSU look good every weekend, just about the NFL. But to say that to undermine what Coach Ed Orgeron did in the past 5 years, you're not being realistic. You're just not. Now, everything that has, I'm talking about inside the football field and the culture around it. Couldn't ask for nothing better. I look at it like this. You have a guy, he knows. I mean, since he was in diapers, he knew LSU was it. Right? And you, even that Coach Ed Orgeron coached one game at LSU, I still think it was mission fulfilled for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of bringing in a homeboy. So it's a couple of names out there. So, Gus, let me ask you this, right? And you can return the same question to me. Who do you think would be a good hire?
I like Billy Napier.
Okay.
From UL. I would say of the other ones, I like Cristobal of Oregon because they build the lines. I'm just looking at it, and I spoke that earlier with Brody Miller. I'm looking at how Georgia's building their program to try to be the next team to try to, you know, consistently meet and beat Bama and how you're going to beat Bama. And it's the promise that Coach O said when he got here as well, and I think it is the reason that they won at Alabama a couple seasons ago. you better have either a very good offensive line or defensive line, one or the other. If you got both, you got a shot. And I understand every team's trying to do that, but what you've seen at Oregon, what used to be a very pass happy, and they still do, they're a very physical football team. And I think I'd like a coach. James Franklin's known for offensive lines. You know, Cristobal, same thing. You know, a guy that's known for building lines. Marlon, I'd like a guy that is sort of like what you see with Sam Pittman. One of the reasons Arkansas has been competitive is its physicality, and it's building on that defensive line and offensive line. So I like to see a guy that is knows something for one way, shape, or form, whether it's Aranda on defense or something. Like, give me something that you're specifically known for, and in particular, if you can tie that to line play, because everyone in the SEC is going to have skill players. It's the line that makes the difference to me.
Yeah, inside the trenches, baby. The game is won and lost there. I'll throw a name out there for you, and for the record, this is just a name I'm throwing out there. Guys, I know I work for LSU Sports Radio, but I don't know nothing about nothing in terms of who we're hiring. I don't know. I like the name Eric Bieniemy. Mm-hmm. Kansas City Chiefs, he's from New Orleans. You know, the players at Kansas City love him. He can win games. We see that, and I don't know how that would go in regards to how well he can recruit and stuff like that. But right, as far as winning coaches, someone who's from the area, from New Orleans, I like Eric Bieniemy from the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, what's interesting with that, Marlon, as we wrap up, is this. After so many interviews in the NFL and not getting a job, you kind of wonder if he's sort of like, you know what, maybe I just go run my own program in college, if that even comes to be an offer. But, I mean, that's something to think about with so many times that he's been a candidate, but for one reason or another, when literally everyone is pushing him over there, you wonder if that is offered if he doesn't take it. So we'll see over
the couple of days. He might take it. He's going to go back home.
Marlon, as always, man, appreciate the time, sir. We'll talk again on Friday about the upcoming game. Big game, especially big news. You just found out Lane Kiffin reporting that he's not very confident quarterback Matt Corral, who got banged up at Tennessee, will play on Saturday in Tiger Stadium. That would be a massive turn of events if their quarterback Matt Corral cannot go. Apparently, he says he does not feel very confident that they can even play him on Saturday. So that's Lane Kiffin today. Thank you, Marlon. Appreciate the time, sir.
Have a good one, brother.
For sure. When we come back, Larry Holder will join us. We'll talk a little Saints and get his takes on LSU as well. It's the Sports Hangover in ESPN New Orleans.
Imagine it, a first-class resort in Slidell on the lakefront called Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. We're talking up to 250 rooms and St. Tammany's first real convention center, big enough for special events, weddings, or even Mardi Gras balls. Relax at the luxury spa, swimming pools, or drift in the lazy river. And listen to this. An outdoor amphitheater will bring major concerts to Slidell and get used for community events too, like graduations and farmers markets. Eat it up at 7 different restaurants, from casual to fine dining, even a brand new Slidell marina. Pull up in your boat and get in on the fun. Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. Together, we make it happen by voting yes. Vote yes, and the North Shore wins. Vote yes, and we all win. Get more information at thenorthshorewinds.com. Paid for by the North Shore Winds.
The devastation that was left behind will be in our hearts and minds forever. But our community has the most hardworking and loyal individuals than anywhere else. We are strong. We will rebuild. We will conquer. Golden Motors is open for sales, service, and parts to assist your needs. Arriving daily is your next brand new Chevrolet, Buick, or slightly used any maker model vehicle. Golden Motors. Price is priority. 985-325-1000 or visit us 24/7 at goldenmotors.com.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodeau, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Get ready, Greater New Orleans area. The big one, the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show, is coming for 2 big days only this weekend at the Ilario Center in West Wego. Show hours are Saturday 9 until 5, Sunday 10 till 5. Hundreds of dealer tables available, full of guns, knives, ammunition, holsters, gun, books, camouflage, jewelry, and related items. Hunters and collectors, this big show's for you. Buy, sell, trade, or just spend the day browsing. Ladies are especially welcome. Admission is just $10 for adults and $2 for children ages 6 to 11. Sorry, no one under the age of 18 admitted without a parent. Got any guns to sell? Be sure they're unloaded and bring them to the show. Thousands of buyers will be there. Instant background checks available for gun purchases. The big one, the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show. Show hours 9 to 5 Saturday, 10 till 5 on Sunday. Come to the Ilario Center in West Wego to exercise your right to keep and bear arms. While you're there, be sure to register for the $50 restaurant gift card. See you there at the big one. Sure as shooting, don't miss it.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Well, let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. We'll get Larry Holder here from The Athletic here in a quick second. Saints getting ready to face the Seattle Seahawks. They played Pittsburgh last night in New Orleans. I was mentioning earlier what Rod Walker had on his Twitter. And he tweeted that the Saints, what they've done in the first four games after the bye the last 5 years. 2020, Saints 4-0, won 7 straight after the bye. 2019, 3-1. 2018, they went 4-0, won 6 straight after the bye. And 2017, they were 4-0, won 6 straight after the bye. And in 2016, they went 3-1. The next four games for the New Orleans Saints, Seattle, Tampa, Atlanta, and Tennessee. So you take the averages there, you would say at least maybe the Saints go 3-1? I don't know. We'll bring on Mr. Larry Holder of The Athletic, who joins us now. We'll talk LSU as well. Larry, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
What's up, Goose? How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Lots to talk about, no doubt. Pels start their new season without Zion again on Wednesday, but we'll see what happens there. You might have heard of the news at LSU, but I want to touch and start with the NFL here, in particular the Saints. I just went over what Rod Walker posted. 4-0, 3-1, 4-0, 4-0, 3-1. That's 2016 through 2020, the first four games out of a bye. So what are you expecting from the Saints here out of the bye as they face Seattle, Tampa, Atlanta, and Tennessee?
Well, look, I think the Saints have obviously done a pretty good job outside of a bye week, and yet, look, I think it's more about which players can come back after the bye week. And we don't know for certain, but we can list off a copious amount of players that could potentially come back. You know, Michael Thomas, Tre'Quan Smith, you're hoping at some point Will Lutz, but you know, they sign a kicker, so that doesn't seem imminent. What about David Onyemata, Marcus Davenport, Juan Alexander? Nick Vanette at tight end. So you could still go on about players. And so I'm curious to see which players come back. And last night, Seattle, they lost. They didn't look like they were totally inept with Geno Smith at quarterback. But still, I'm sure the Saints have got to feel better about themselves going into that game with Russell Wilson hurt. So, you go from that game and see where you go from there.
Yeah, he didn't look like a complete bum. And that was just a really good play by T.J. Watt, stripping him for sure. Here's what Ian Rappaport had to say an hour ago.
And star receiver for the Saints, Michael Thomas, has been battling that lower leg injury, kind of ankle injury, since he had surgery in the spring. I'm told he's still expected to be a couple weeks away. So that really quick infusion of offense to the New Orleans Saints doesn't sound like it's coming this week or next week.
Larry, that's disheartening probably for Saints fans. But realistically, when those reports first came out, it was end of October, early November. But when you hear several weeks away, several could be 2, 3, 4. Do you think he's a month away?
Well, what I reported right when it happened was that that 5 weeks would be the timetable. So we're going beyond that. And that is disheartening, just because he could have had surgery earlier. It's the whole saga coming back again.
Right.
As you're waiting and waiting, you figure he should have had it already. And that was a point of contention, and I'm sure still is a point of contention, even though they want to try to, you know, kiss and make nice publicly. But still, this could have happened months and months before the surgery actually took place in June, and you wouldn't have to be dealing with this. And mm-hmm. so you're just wondering, when is he going to come back? And we haven't seen a completely right Mike Thomas since week one of 2020. So what are you going to get when you get him back?
I think what's really disheartening is this. That could potentially be 5 or 6 more games if you give it another month. If several weeks, let's call it a month. And let's say the next game is October 25th, so a month from there. Seattle, Tampa, Atlanta, Tennessee, Philly, November 25th, a month later, is Buffalo. Now, I've said I would like to kind of get everybody back, and then you can kind of see where it is, because those two games, you're about to find out where the Saints are, right? Buffalo and Dallas right now, with those two teams probably battling for the top in the AFC and NFC right now. But yeah, it's disheartening from that aspect of it. But along those lines, hamstrings take some time to heal. What if you don't have Deontay Harris coming up this week?
It just seems like Harris and Traquan Smith, you're constantly dealing with injury issues with both of these guys. And it's made for a difficult situation as far as trying to have weapons in the passing game. And you are dealing with a different quarterback than you're used to dealing with to try to navigate those injury issues of, if everyone's healthy, your top three receivers, top four for sure, three of the four are out but injured, and Callaway would be within that mix. And so, where do you go from there? And, at least Jameis Winston, Sean Payton may open up the passing game a little bit more in terms of passing attempts, but he also only completed 15 of 30 of those passing attempts the last time we saw Jameis Winston when they were at Washington. So it's still a mystery. I mean, can this team get better? Should they get better when these pieces come back? Yes. But when are these pieces going to come back? You kept saying, we're going to find out what kind of team this team is. I don't know when we're going to find that out. We might not ever know.
Maybe we do know what this team is. This team is just a walking MASH unit for what it is right now. It is When I see that report and talking to you two, I mean, it makes a lot of sense that, quite honestly, Larry, if this team's going to make a push or make that run, go 3-1, go do something like that. Because I think off the bus, they're as good or better in Seattle, Atlanta, and Tennessee. I think the Bucs are just a much better football team all the way around. So, but if you can go 3-1 in this next quarter without your offense, in other words, I'm saying, can your defense lead your way? You know you're going to get Onyemata back, and you likely should get Quan Alexander back and Davenport. Like, those three guys should be coming back in the next week or two. And if that's the case, then, yeah, this is going to be a team that's going to have to win on its defensive end until that next quarter of games.
Well, the story doesn't change. I mean, that's the way they have to do it by now already, even with a lot of issues and even just wondering, who's going to play corner, opposite of Marshon Lattimore. And so the theme doesn't change, and it probably just won't change at all this year.
Right.
I think defense needs to be the stronger side of the football to put the offense in some good situations. And here's the thing, too. Offensive line-wise, can you get McCoy back and Armstead back in a decent amount of time? That stabilizes a run game, a front five, because I thought even going into the season, you got to lean on your strengths with the offensive line, Alvin Kamara, and your defense. And that story hasn't changed, and it needs to continue until we see any sort of full complement of skill position players on the outside.
Final thing from you, sir. Speak with Larry Holder, The Athletic. Obviously, you cover the Saints and also LSU as well. It seems just like yesterday we're covering that magical 2019 season, the national championship, and now you're going to be talking this week and tomorrow, Matt Moscona show, about the future of LSU without Ed Ogeron. Did you see this coming? Could you have? I think some did to an extent, but I don't know. I mean, where do they go from here? Who would you like to see at LSU as their head coach?
Well, once you saw UCLA, and you knew things are going to be tough. And it's, you know, look, it was, if he didn't start off strong, there was going to be a contingent who wanted him out. Obviously, that's happened. And so I'm just wondering how bizarre it's going to be that he's going to coach out the rest of the season. To me, that's bizarre. But as far as coaching candidates are concerned, look, they're gonna go the gamut on big names everywhere. I mean, my colleague Bruce Feldman has a great piece on that at The Athletic. Of course, I know you had Brody on earlier, who had a tremendous outlook of the storyline. But look, to me, if I'm gonna shoot for the stars, I say they throw everything at Dabo Sweeney and see what happens to make
him. Oh, that's interesting. Throw it all on Dabo. I'll tell you what, not having a good season over there this year. Maybe might be the time to give him a call. Thank you, bud. Appreciate the time as always, sir.
All right, good to see you, bud.
Thank you. Final segment next on ESPN New Orleans.
Greg LeBlanc Toyota is currently open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily
and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles.
If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com. GregLeBlancToyota.com. We are home strong.
The Rouse's Markets in Golden Meadow is back open. The Rouse's family wants to thank everyone that worked so tirelessly to get the store back open to serve our community. Thank you to Rouse's Markets team members who worked at the store every day. Thank you to Rouse's Markets facilities and construction crews. Thank you to Rouse's Markets vendor partners. And thank you, our loyal customers. Rouse's Market in Golden Meadow, now open 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodeau Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodeau Regional.
Progressive Motorcycle presents Road Wisdom from the Motor. The road is everything you want it to be.
Everything.
As long as what you want is road.
To ride your motorcycle on.
Progressive Motorcycle also presents basic policies starting at $79 a year. Progressive Motorcycle for those who were born to ride. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy is not available in all states.
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengap.
We'll start wrapping up our coverage, of course, of the season opener for your New Orleans Pelicans. It's coming on Wednesday. The NBA starts its regular season this week, tomorrow. Can you believe that? Tomorrow. We will have a pair of games. They're going to be good. It'll be good. Nets at the Bucks, 6:30 on TNT. Warriors at the Lakers. They 0-6. Preseason LA Lakers, baby. Oh yeah. I'm telling you. They'll be up 2-0 and you'll see that highlight 15 times. If it's a bounce pass to LeBron, off the glass, put back by AD, you name it. We'll hear from Travis tomorrow for sure. So we'll touch on that. A couple of practice notes for you Pelicans. BI did participate, look good, fully to go. Willie Green did give an update on Zion. And it is, quote, he's in the beginning of our practices, our walkthroughs, our warm-ups. Then he goes and does his cardio, his one-on-O stuff. He's progressing. Green added that Zion is getting more comfortable speaking up at practice and giving his teammates pointers. Now that he's around the guys more often, and he can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Again, I whether it's the scan here or there, my gut feeling is go get in shape. He's not in shape. That's how I feel. And I told you, November 2nd at Phoenix, first of a four-game road trip, culminating in Dallas. Golden State's in that road trip, Sacramento. Just get ready for that, quite honestly. In the meantime, B.I. and the Rooks, let them go and see what they can do. It'll be interesting to see what the starting five will be. It'll be also interesting to see where the rest of this basketball team will get going here. Again, Ben Simmons did practice with the Sixers this weekend. So my guess will be is that you will see him Wednesday when the Sixers open up against the Pelicans here at the Smoothie King Center. So that'll be up on Wednesday. We'll touch, of course, tomorrow with a couple of college football coaches. We'll try to get Billy Napier again. They got another weird week. They play on Thursday. You know how I feel about it. I think he needs at least a phone call. I do. I know you want the splash hire. You want all that. That guy's a really good coach. They beat App State. You remember last week, 41-13, to take on Arkansas State on Thursday night football at 6:30. Oh, Frank Selfo, congrats to the Lions. They go 5-1 after they absolutely hammer HBU. 61-24 for them. They take on Northwestern State at 3 o'clock. Tulane and SMU both had byes this weekend. The Green Wave look to try to salvage something from the season. Not being ugly. We'll try to have head coach Willie Fritz tomorrow. But they're 1-5, and they're facing now 21st-ranked SMU. They were 23 2 weeks ago. They're now 21 as they get going in there. And the Bearcats, I'm telling you, that's the next opponent. Yeah. That's the next opponent for Tulane. So, back-to-back doozies. By the way, Cincinnati in the AP Top 25, number 2 in the country. The coaches somehow put Oklahoma over Cincinnati. Thanks for tuning us in, as always. Appreciate your time and work, buddy. Jordan as well. Thanks for tuning us in. Matt Moscone, and after further review next on ESPN New Orleans.
It's fall savings times at Barker Kia, which means you can save on our entire lineup of new Kias. These Kias are packed with value and technology. Best